Well, hello and welcome to another broadcast. Today we're in the book of Jude. We'll be talking about Bible creep. Stay tuned. In the little book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 4 says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." It's important to understand that the term "certain men," this word "certain" has been translated "some" 73 times. So that's simply what it means. So they were some men who had crept in unawares. To creep in, how does this happen? Well, it says they came in unawares. It is important to notice that it says they were in. They were inside. W.A. Criswell was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. His membership grew to 28,000 members. He said that he'd be surprised to see 25% of his church members in heaven. That means that he believed that 75% of the people who were actually members of his church, he thought they weren't saved. He said, "I will be surprised to see 25% of my church members in heaven." If he's right, 75% were not saved, but they were in the membership. B.R. Lakin was a well-known evangelist. He said 75% of the church members are not saved. And A.W. Tozer, who was a very highly respected man of God, he said that he thought 90% of the people who claim to be Christians are not saved. How does this kind of a thing happen? Well, we are now living at what I call third-generation fundamentalists. The first generation of what we called fundamentalists were very solid in their doctrine. They preached the doctrine, and they only traveled with those who preached the doctrine. The second generation of fundamentalists, which began probably around 1950 in that era, the doctrine, they said, became too divisive. We can't preach doctrine anymore. It divides. And so let's dump the doctrine, and we just won't have the doctrine as a focus. The third generation, of course, took that even further, and they started coming up with their own doctrine. Now, to have no doctrine is like playing a hockey game, and the coach says, "Well, don't worry about the rules. Don't worry about those lines on the ice or any rules like that. Just go out there and play hockey." And that's what we've done, and that's why we've got into the place where 75 to 90% of the church members, according to Criswell or Larkin or Tozer, most of the church members are not saved. They crept in unaware. They did it over a period of two or three generations. The unsaved come in and they take over the churches. And Christians at that point, with little discernment, don't know what to do. They have no teaching of the truth because we dumped the doctrine. And they have no comprehension of the truth. And so they're not able to handle this situation. They look on in confusion. And the result of this whole mess is apostasy. Now, Jude said that these people were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now, Vine's Expository Dictionary says this "before of old ordained" means that it was set forth long ago. In other words, it was previously decreed. What was decreed? The condemnation is decreed. Not that they would have to come in and do this, but the condemnation. The dictionary says that the word condemnation is a very strong disapproval. That was previously decreed. The Greek word here has been translated "judgment" 13 times. So what it's saying is it has been previously decreed that judgment is going to come in upon these people. Now, Jude refers to them here in verse 4 as ungodly men. And in the context of Jude, he is obviously speaking about unsaved men. Verse 4 says, "They're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." In Jude chapter 1 here, in verse 14 and 15, he uses the word "ungodly" four times. However, ungodly men can also refer to Christians. Ungodly is anything that is contrary to what God's word commands. For an example, the subject of repentance, and the whole reason that this book of Jude is being written is because we have accepted a common salvation that says that we don't need to repent. But Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30 says that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 4 says these men in this particular situation are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Turning the grace of our God. Now, once again, the context of Jude has to do with the common salvation that he was saying, we got to watch out for this. We got to stand against this common, defiled, unholy, unclean type of salvation. Notice it refers to turning the grace of God. Titus 2:11 says, the grace of God bringeth salvation. In verse 4, we have the word lasciviousness. In 2 Peter 2:7, that word has been translated filthy. If you look in a dictionary at the bottom of the list, it'll give you the Old English meaning of words, and the Old English meaning of this word is lacking discipline. The word lasciviousness has been translated wantonness twice in the Bible, and wantonness means simply to loosen up. 2 Peter 2:18 says that they allure through much wantonness. They allure with their swelling words of vanity that say we just got to loosen up. Like I said, let's drop the doctrine, loosen up a little bit. So what we do is we reject God's given boundaries concerning how things are to be done. And again, the context of how things are to be done is talking about how people are saved. And Jude is saying we got to reject this common, unclean, defiled salvation plan that says we do not need to repent. In verse 4, he talks about the fact that they're denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek word denying has been translated refuse twice. In Acts chapter 7:35, it says, this Moses whom they refused, saying, who has made thee a ruler over us? It gets so bad by the time we get to the apostasy in the book of Jude, they are straight out refusing the Lord. Verse 5 says, I will therefore put you in remembrance that though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. Now, the important lesson here, he says, I therefore, because of all this, I put you into remembrance. And then he said, though you once knew this. So obviously he's talking to Jews about what went on back there in the Old Testament and those people who came out of the land of Egypt. So he says, I want you to stop and I want you to remember. Let's not wait until it's too late to remember. You have the story in Luke chapter 22, verse 61, where the Bible says that Peter had denied Jesus and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jude is saying, now listen, let's remember what we need to remember, and let's get this old, common, unclean, defiled plan of salvation out of the way. He said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. Now, according to Vine's Dictionary, this word is not to mean to extinction, but to ruin. It is a metaphor of spiritual destitution. It says that they were saved out of Egypt. Now, that's nothing to do with going to heaven. It's talking about a physical sense of salvation. They were saved out of the bondage of Pharaoh. But it says they believed not. Believed not what? They didn't believe the promises of the victorious Christian life that was theirs on the other side of the River Jordan. Their response was, there's too many giants over there. So this word destroyed, the Greek word means to render useless, and that's exactly what happened to God's people in the wilderness. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they were rendered useless because they refused to go in to the promised land, as many Christians do today. Hebrews 3:18 says they could not enter in because of unbelief. In this portion of Scripture, he mentions the people out of Egypt, he mentions the angels that kept not their first estate, and he mentions those in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them. So in verse 6, we see the angels, it says, they kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness until the judgment of the great day. 2 Peter 2:4 refers to these angels, and it says, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. The point here is that when we rebel against God, we face judgment. It's just that simple. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. In verse 7 and 8, it goes on to mention those in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, what? They rebelled too, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. They are, he said, set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of fire. Likewise, he continues, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh and despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. Now the account is found in Genesis chapter 19, 24 through 28, where they certainly do defile the flesh. They reject authority, that is, they speak evil of dignities. That word dignities has been translated worship. They speak evil of dignities. Worship is speaking of authority. We worship a supreme authority. No, they speak evil of that. So we have a warning, and he says, remember Israel, God's people were rendered useless. They were judged for what they did, and they wandered in the wilderness till the end of their lives. Remember the angels that are reserved for judgment. Remember the Sodomites that are set forth an example of judgment. What he's saying here is we need to stop and think about it. We need to remember these things the Bible says are written for our admonition. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. These things happen. They really did happen. They happened unto them. Why? For examples, to make an impression. The same word here is used of the nail marks in Jesus' palms when he was crucified, that to make an impression. They were written for our admonition. They were written for our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 10 says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things, they corrupt themselves. And that's the age that we're living in. In our next broadcast, we're going to be looking at understanding these times that we're living in. It is so important that we understand the days that we are living in. We need to face the facts, and then we need to face the future. We need to look at where we are and realize that God in His Word has prophesied that we would be in this situation. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. And if you read that carefully, it's talking about perilous times within our local churches. It's not talking about the world. Perilous times have always been in the world. Just check with Noah and anybody from there on. There's always been perilous times in the world. But as we come to the end of the age, the Bible says that we will be facing perilous times within our own group. And we certainly are there now. And one of the main responsibilities that we have in this age, as the Bible says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, we need to lift up a standard against him. That is, we need to stand and say, all right, we have this unholy, defiled, common gospel that says you don't need to repent in order to go to heaven. Just pray a prayer, we'll all go into heaven someday. No, you won't. The Bible's very plain about that. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So what we need to do is to lift up a banner. That's what the word standard means there. It doesn't mean a haircut and how we dress. All those things are important. What it's talking about is to lift up a standard, to stand and say, this is where we stand. There's no sense trying to fight against the apostasy. It's prophesied. The Bible said it would come. But what we do need to realize is to understand the day in which we're living and know what to do. We're going to look at it in our next broadcast. Be sure and tune in to Plain and Simple. May the Lord bless you.